Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Las Vegas, Nevada. Microsoft today released a special advisory regarding a new OLE bug that is currently being exploited in targeted attacks using PowerPoint files. This sounds very similar to a bug that was fixed in October's Patch Tuesday updates, but apparently that fix wasn't complete and very similar attacks are still being executed using this new variety of the vulnerability. According to Microsoft, all versions of Windows that are currently supported, which means back to Windows Vista Service Pack 2, and they also point out Windows Server 2003 are vulnerable. There is no patch available as of this time. However, there is a fix-it that Microsoft released to at least mitigate this vulnerability. The CVE number for this vulnerability is 2014-6352. Of course, I do recommend that you do apply this fix-it expeditiously. Targeted attacks are easily getting more widespread as knowledge about this new vulnerability in OLE becomes more widely known. And in our diaries today, we are returning to our month's theme, false positives for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. This time, Rob is talking about ghosts in pentest reports, essentially false positives or false negatives for that matter that may show up commonly in pentests, in particular in pentests of web applications. What it really means is, in particular for the pen tester, don't trust your scanning tool. One of the purposes of a pen test is to actually do manually verification of the vulnerabilities in order to accurately assess the impact of a particular vulnerability. And Rapid7 made the interesting discovery in one of its internet-wide scans in that it discovered a lot of inbound SMB connections to some of its scanners. Turned out that the culprit here were misconfigured Palo Alto network firewalls. These firewalls are configured with a feature that is offered by Palo Alto that will establish a SMB connection from the firewall to the host trying to connect to it in order to verify the user's identity. Typically, this feature should be limited to internal trusted zones, but is often misconfigured to be triggered against random inbound connections. The result is that the firewall will send the user's username, domain, and a hashed password to the scanner in order to try to log in. Of course, an attacker could use this weakness in order to now capture these credentials, relay them back to, for example, a file share, as pointed out in the blog article, to then use these credentials to log in. As pointed out in the blog post, this isn't really a vulnerability in the Palo Alto Networks equipment. It's really a misconfiguration, but apparently a quite common misconfiguration of this equipment. Palo Alto did publish an advisory with some details how to audit your systems and fix this problem should you find it. And MITRE did release a document with some details regarding vulnerabilities in UEFI firmware. Remember, in the old days of BIOS, we didn't really have much control over BIOS or the firmware from our operating systems. UEFI, on the other hand, does provide an API to control certain firmware features from the operating system, and Windows 8 does implement this API. Turns out the implementation of this API on the firmware, the UEFI side, is sometimes buggy, which then can be exploited by a privileged Windows user to change the firmware and with that gain more persistence on a machine that is, for example, compromised. So essentially, this comes down to a privilege escalation that exceeds the privileges of the operating system itself and may affect the firmware. Interesting article, not a lot you can do at this point to fix it. MITRE did release some tools to help you assess your risk. For example, there's a tool called Copernicus that they released that will report if your system is believed to be affected by this vulnerability. They also did release a UEFI binary integrity checking script that you can use if you do have a bias dump from your UEFI bias. Of course, updates may also become available from various vendors, and of course, that's always tricky to update firmware on a large number of desktops. We usually do have procedures for the operating system, but updating BIOSes does often do require a physical access to the system. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.